Hello, dear listener, it's Daniel. Now, before we get to this episode, just want to remind you, me and Core just launched a Patreon. For $7 a month, you can get exclusive content. Now, how do you sign up for said exclusive content? Well, we made it easy. There's a link down in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/litdpod. We'll see you soon. Now, let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to Light in the Darkness.
Off-topic episodes are a sub-series within the Light in the Darkness podcast where Daniel and I have a chance to have conversation that strays away from our normal supernatural and paranormal fare. These are our day-in and day-out conversations. The only difference is this time we set up the microphones and we're inviting you to take a listen.
So consider yourself invited to the digital campfire, if you will. The microphones are on, the Waffle House coffee is hot, and a great idea to get it to go, bruh. And the cushions, well, there's a plethora of opinions about the cushions.
Daniel.
Here we go.
I don't know if you noticed earlier, perhaps you were looking the other way, but I snuck over to your chair, and I took a little sit down on your cushion just because you talk mad game about it. And I have to say,
I talk mad game. That's what the kids say.
I have to say, your cushion is slightly inferior to mine, and neither of them make these slightly comfortable chairs any more comfortable than just barely, and I mean barely, being tolerable.
Speaking of things the kids say, I believe you've just thrown shade at me over my cushion. So you go ahead. You want to hurt me? My wife likes me. I like me. Because what you see is what you get. The whole package. Yes, this is the John Candy bit. But besides that.
Your cushion's trash.
I knew there it is. I knew there was a shot coming. Don't you ever.
It's like sitting in a church pew. It's so hard.
Whoa. If that's what you're focused on in church, my friend, I think somebody needs to dial back
in. We have all been in church where the pastor is overstaying his welcome. He made his point 30 minutes ago, and he is continuing to beat that horse into submission, and your butt gets tired. I used to know a pastor that said the brain can only retain what the butt can sustain, and it is true.
Gosh.
But we're yapping.
That's what we do.
We're yapping away, and these listeners are not here for this nonsense. Continue on with the talking.
I'm confused. You said stop the yapping. That's all I know. On a serious note, to those of you who are greatly offended by what he just said, we also acknowledge that there are not only uncomfortable pews, but uncomfortable chairs as well, which is a different debate. We're not getting into pews versus chairs. I can already feel faces getting red and tempers getting hot. Don't do it. I can see your face. Let's
pews
not go
are
there.
All right.
Oh, no.
I don't have a big problem with pews. I mean, they aren't generally the most, there's not generally a lumbar support. It's just a plain wooden thing behind your back. So, you know.
How do you spice up the back of a chair or the back of a pew? And trying not to be disrespectful and destroying church property, will you put something on it you can also take off of it? A sticker.
Oh, boy. Got to loop it around to make ourselves.
Uh-oh.
Are we saying gotta to plug it?
Please don't deface church property, but if you notice a bare spot, maybe the old carpet's peeling off the back of the pew or that plastic back on the chair, maybe a slap in LITD stick. Don't do it. I'm kidding. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Somehow I still feel like this is better than asking them to try to attempt to take off a skin tag with it.
Oh, God.
And to then endorse on top of it.
Well, regardless of what you want to do with the sticker, which we cannot endorse beyond just sticking it to surfaces for aesthetic properties and values, you can go on over to litdpod.com/support or by clicking the support the show link down in the show notes, giving a donation of absolutely any amount, and we will send a beautiful sticker right to your door.
And we don't endorse putting in a property you don't own. Just want to throw that in there, too.
That's good.
Okay. I think our bases are covered.
Oh, give $50 or more, we'll send you five.
That's true. Oh, now getting on to fun things. We were at the Waffle House because of all the fine establishments to eat at before or after a good time with the Lord or during.
Are Waffle Houses nationwide? Does everybody know what a Waffle House is?
I know at least in the 48 contiguous they are, as far as Alaska and Hawaii. I can't speak to that.
Raising Cane's, where it's like, yeah, you might know what it is, or In-N-Out. Like, do you think everybody would have had a chance to sup upon the delicious, scuzzy, greasy, but still somehow utterly satisfying filth and detritus that Waffle House serves?
Even when they're new. Now, I've debated this with multiple people. I feel like they build it, and then a guy walks in with some sort of backpack of liquid in a sprayer, and there's just a film that must...
They're ghost busting.
Yeah, but the film has to go on everything. Mm, it's not like a Scotch guard. It's more of just like grease.
You told me about a time that you went to Waffle House with a friend who was very utterly repulsed about the Waffle House experience. But what was it they did with the silverware?
Oh, goodness gracious. So T-Rail, if you're listening, buddy, had never been. Now, we were here at this establishment. We're sitting in a pulled an all-nighter. We worked till 4 a.m. and then we said there's only a few places open. So we went. He almost refused to go, but you know how it is. So we get there. And he immediately asks for a cup of hot water. They don't bring him like boiling water. They just think, you know, he's going to make a bag of tea or something. He immediately just throws his silverware in there, just throws it in the cup. And we just all looked at him like, what are you doing?
I hate to break it to you. That ain't doing nothing to what Waffle House holds on that silverware.
That's what we told him. Like, bro, it's not hot enough. A, and if you just feel better about it, fine, go ahead and polish it when it comes out. But
you could get a pressure washer, a boiling water. It ain't getting that stuff off that silverware. It is permanently glued in. It is layers deep in this fine stainless steel silverware.
You can use the stuff that cleans the siding or the deck that goes in the tank of the pressure washer. Mm. That's basically just fancy bleach. It's not happening.
A couple different kinds of acid. The acid would run away.
Yep. So, long story short, he liked the food. He couldn't believe he ate there, was repulsed by it. He liked the food.
Enough said.
Story always ends the same. Now, while we were at the Waffle House.
This really is an off topic. Yeah. We're off topic in a Waffle House. Yeah.
We said all that to say some cool stuff happened at the Waffle House core. Go ahead.
Well, as we were leaving, Daniel had a little bit of, well, let's we can debate about it. Prophecy. Encouragement, a couple different gifts of the spirit I'm listing there. It could have even been tonight's topic, word of knowledge. Danny boy.
Yes. It is well.
So you grew up in the Church of God.
Assemblies of God, then Church of God. It was an interesting conundrum, but yes.
Both of which are full-bore Pentecostal denominations. They believe in the full working of the Holy Spirit in our lives today. He's the third member of the Trinity. He baptism of the Holy Spirit. That there's something different than salvation, different than water baptism. There's a third thing that we can participate in. And the Holy Spirit then is able to do more things in your life. That's the theology you were raised in.
In Assemblies of God, I'd like to say, yes, brother. And in Church of God, I'd like to say, hallelujah! Similar, but different brands.
Yeah. Kind of like a Waffle House and a Huddle House. Ooh. Similar, but different brands.
And
although one is far inferior to the other in those two options.
Do you know that?
I've been to Huddle House. It didn't feel like Waffle House at all. I didn't feel like the cook's lazy eye was staring at me the whole time. It was an uncomfortable experience by how comfortable it was.
You seem to want for different things than I do when you go places to eat.
We want the same Waffle House experience.
What are anyway, we? Moving Hive on. Mind here, the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Oh, dear. So you were raised in a denomination that fully embraced Pentecostal theology, the working of the Spirit. When did you first hear about the word of knowledge?
I didn't. I saw it. I just didn't know what it was. So I knew whenever there was an altar call at church, two things were going to happen. Number one, people would go, especially at the Assemblies of God church I grew up in. People were definitely receptive to the Spirit. The second thing that I knew what was going to happen is my mom was going to get up at some point during that altar call if she wasn't already down there. And typically, because I was younger, I was drawing on the pamphlet, but I would notice mom would go up and lay hands on someone's back and she would say something in their ear. There would usually be a look on their face of kind of perplexed. How could you know that? And then there would either be tears or a hug or a long conversation. Mom would pray with them. And that was my first experience with a word of knowledge. I just didn't know what was going on. And that was normal to me.
Yeah.
I just didn't get the label for it till probably years later.
Mm.
I just knew that something that happened and that the Holy Ghost was moving.
So you were witness to it. And you experienced it before you were taught about it. It was kind of more like show before tell for you with this.
I was familiar with it. It was normal. It was what we did as Christians. It was what we did as the family. I just didn't know what to call it, which looking back, I'm so grateful for that. When someone finally gave me a name for it, it was just more of, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I just never called it that.
Yeah. I remember for me, the first time I heard about it was, I had probably been in services where it was happening, you know, but I was in a church and our pastor, I was a teenager, probably 15, 16, somewhere in there, did a series on the gifts of the Spirit. What are the gifts of the Spirit, you might be asking, dear listener? Teaching time. We see lots of different lists of the gifts of the Spirit in Scripture, different things that are attributed as a gift from the Holy Spirit. Did you know that your pastor is actually a gift from Jesus? That's scriptural.
How about that?
Yeah, it's one of the listings of the gifts. Yeah, the fivefold ministry.
Right on.
Yeah, but one of the ones that gets talked about most often is a list of nine different gifts that we see in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through verse 11. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge, today's topic, through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So I'm a teenager. The first time I hear this passage read aloud in church, the first time that my pastor spent a summer long series going through and breaking down every one of these one by one. Maybe he did two by two. I'm kind of foggy. But I was immediately intrigued. Like I had at this point, I already had tongues. I was already had been slain in the Spirit. I had already operated in a couple of these gifts in different times of my life before I ever had the teaching on like, this is what these are. So we're going to break down just one of these gifts, our personal experiences with it. Sometimes we see it in Scripture today, and hopefully we're going to encourage you, dear listener, to pursue some of these gifts and see what the Spirit may lead you to do to minister both to yourself and to others.
Interesting. So you had already operated in other gifts before this one.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. Well, you know what? Why don't you go to a scriptural reference first? Let's start there.
Okay.
Let's etch something in stone and then we'll get personal with them.
Sure. I think this is a gift we see in the Old Testament and in the New. Fun fact, that list that I just read from 1 Corinthians 12, you see all those gifts in the Old Testament, except for tongues and interpretation of tongues, because that is for the Christian believer. We see it in the New Testament, but not in the Old Testament, which it was brand new. That's what we see it broken down for the first time at the beginning of Acts chapter 2. Anyway, so let's look at an Old Testament example of the word of knowledge. So for our purposes, what has been defined to me as is the word of knowledge is the Lord revealing a piece of knowledge to someone that they could not know in the natural. through your own knowledge, through your own head, you couldn't know this about someone's past or what they're currently presently experiencing. And you're nodding your head. The listeners can't see, but you're tracking with me. Do you have any examples of what you could think of might be a word of knowledge, just pulling it out of your shoe?
Geez, just an example of one?
Yeah, just an example. Hypothetical.
Sure. Hypothetical, a car wreck. Mm. And it was traumatic for someone, and they thought they were going to die. And just, you know, going up to them and saying, I know that was traumatic for you, but the Lord was with you the whole time. And that scar behind your left knee is a reminder that he has marked you for life and you're going to do great things for him. Like this bit of information that no one else would know. I'm not observing it with my eyes necessarily. It's just the fact of there's like a growth inside of them of faith in that moment to really grab on, and the Holy Spirit just then bathing them with this awesome love. Like, I see you. I know you by the Spirit because of this thing.
That is an excellent example. And you tied it in with a couple of other spiritual gifts that are listed in other places. And I think that's beautiful because these gifts often operate together, because you went from that, from the word of knowledge, which was the knowledge that they had been in an accident, and you went into prophecy, divine exhortation and encouragement and edification. And then you kind of also blended in the gift of encouragement, and you kind of packaged all that together in that example of something you gave this person so that they could have a closer walk with Jesus and have new perspective on something that traumatic that had happened and gain healing in their heart and in their mind. All in that little quick example. It's beautiful.
I didn't make it up. It was true. I tried to make it up, and I was just like, maybe I've just got something I can give. I'm not that creative. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So let's look at an example in scripture in the Old Testament. In 2 Kings 5, we see a story about the prophet Elisha. That was the guy that came after Elijah. So Elisha operated in the word of knowledge quite a bit. And there's this story about his servant. There's a guy named Naaman. He comes to Elisha. Elisha does something for him prophetically. And he's like, oh my gosh, you know, let me pay you for this. I've got silver. I got Gucci. I got velour. I got changes of clothes for you. That's Corey's paraphrase. I don't think Gucci made it into scripture. Anywho's.
The kids say that too.
Gucci. So Naaman offers Elisha all this stuff, and he turns him down. He says, I don't need anything. I'm good. Naaman leaves. Well, Elisha's servant gets it in his mind. You know what? I could use some new robes. I could use some silver and gold and all the things that Naaman was offering him. Let me chase after this guy and just fabricate a reason that he may give me this stuff. So Gehazi runs after him without Elisha knowing. Elisha didn't see him going. None of that. Just remember, Elisha's a prophet. That'll come in later.
Jedi Master with the Holy Ghost.
So then Gehazi runs after him, gives him this story about other prophets coming in and how now that he had guests, Elisha decided, you know what, they could use some more clothes, they could use this stuff. And Naaman, he's so thankful for what Elisha just did for him. He's like, you know what, take double, boom, 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 gives him all this stuff. Gehazi's like, and he goes and he like hides it and he goes back to his master's house. He no sooner than walks in the door when Elisha is like, what you been doing? Do you not know that my spirit went with you while you were doing that and I saw what you did? And when he's pronouncing this, Gehazi gets struck with leprosy. Now, that is not one of the gifts of the Spirit. Striking people with leprosy is not a gift of the Spirit. I don't recommend it. But we see this beautiful example in the Old Testament of Gehazi thinking he was getting away with something, and the prophet Elijah getting knowledge from the Lord that there's no natural way that he could possibly have. He didn't see Gehazi sneak away. He didn't see him get the clothes and the gold and the silver, and he didn't see it hide it. He came back looking completely innocent, and Elisha was like, I know what you did.
Mm. Dude, you think Sherry Steele was a prophet? Because I'm going to tell you, many a night I walked in that apartment And she was like, you did this. You were with this person. The Holy Spirit told me you are on thin ice. And I would weep. Yes, Mom, I did. I'm sorry.
Well, before we move on to, you know, stories from our own life, there is one more that I'd like to share from Scripture. Because this one, that was kind of a negative connotation of like what the word of knowledge was. And it was like the Lord revealing someone's sin, right? And sometimes he does that, but more often he's revealing other things, like in your example about the car accident, that's going to bring healing. It's going to bring life. And we see this modeled in the life of Jesus in John chapter 4. And this is a story, as soon as I say it, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. The woman at the well.
That's a good one. I know what you're talking about.
Jesus comes and he is thirsty, and he comes up to this Samaritan woman who the Jews don't even talk to. He's a Jewish man. It's very obvious that he's a Jewish man. He walks up to this Samaritan woman. They have beef going back hundreds of years with the Jews. She's a woman. Men don't really talk to women. There's all kinds of cultural things going on right now. And he starts talking to her and he says, give me a drink. And she says, then the woman of Samaria said to him, this is verse 9, John chapter 4, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and livestock? Jesus answered her and said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. The woman said, sir, give me a water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, and this is where the word of knowledge comes in, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have said well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. That was a word of knowledge. In fact, she says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. It's knowledge that he could not have had about this woman. There is no telltale sign about this woman having all these husbands, and then the guy that she's with isn't even her husband. And what Jesus is speaking to in that moment is this word of knowledge about her identity. He is saying, I see you right where you are. We kind of walk away with a little bit of a cultural misunderstanding of this passage, that we think this woman was immoral or she was loose. The real cultural context of this passage is actually that this woman had been divorced and she had had five men leave her. And then the guy that she's with now won't even marry her, won't even make that commitment to her. And Jesus is seeing her right where she is. And he is saying, I see how everybody else has treated you, and I do not see you that way. And I care. And just him saying this interaction with her, she came to know him as Messiah because he saw her right where she was.
Leave it to Jesus to literally break cultural boundaries, to break the mold, to break all these preconceived ideas about classes in a conversation. Just acknowledge her for her. So that happened today, oddly enough. It's funny how he works. We were talking about what we were going to talk about tonight, and he was doing it all the while. We were sitting in Waffle House, and our waitress, I don't know if she was singing to herself or humming to herself in the moment, but I just heard a little something. And then in my spirit, I heard, I love when she sings. Tell her. And so Cora and I are going to the register and we're paying for our food. And I just asked her, I said, do you know Jesus? And she said, yes. I said, well, he just wants you to know he loves when you sing, and he would love it if you would use that gift for him. And I, you know, just trusted what I heard in my spirit, the sniffles and the smiles and the, you know, the tears a little bit welling up in her eye. That confirmed she knew what I was talking about. I didn't have to get in some long drawn out conversation with her, because in that moment, the Holy Ghost did what he wanted to do. He poked her and let her know, hey, I see you. I love you. And you matter to me. I want more of you. I can wholeheartedly say I believe that was received but you were standing there.
I would agree with you that it was received, man. And again, that's like a blending of different spiritual gifts there. And the definition we're working with, which we never argue about definitions, it's foolish, because what I believe a word of knowledge is, someone else may believe a word of knowledge is something completely different. So we don't argue about this stuff. That brings division to the body of Christ. These definitions just help us to know what we're doing. These definitions just help us. So knowledge, you had no way of knowing in the natural that the Lord liked the way she sang. That she even sang, because all you're hearing is her humming around Waffle House. And now it's like, well, now I know that you sing. And then the encouragement and the prophecy comes in that the Lord would like you to sing in his house. So again, a blending of the gifts.
Which is very common, dear listener. And don't shy away from that. Oftentimes, one gift will often piggyback on another, and the more sensitive you get to the things of the Spirit, and the more you do it, quite frankly, the more often it'll happen. And just like today, before you even realize what you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's literally spiritual muscle memory to a degree. And then your everyday walk through life is just a matter of flowing in the gifts when he pokes you to do it and leads you. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, man. I don't want to think about walking through life without it, having had it.
I hear that.
But what about you, Cor? Is there a personal word of knowledge story for you?
Oh, I've received some. I've given some. And forgive me if I've told this story on the podcast before. I probably have. I feel like I've told a lot of the ones that really like registered with me. That doesn't mean they didn't deeply impact people and I don't even know. Like, you know, I happen to say something and it doesn't even, then their face doesn't even register that it like connected.
Sure.
Which happens. But here's one that I know that it was like it connected. So I'm at a event, a class on things like this, on prophecy, on gifts of the Spirit, on things like that. And we're having conversation around the table at the end, and we're just kind of praying for each other and just asking the Lord if he has anything. And it's two or three guys sitting at the table, and I get, you know, something for one, something for another, and they're both like just, you know, words, you know, I understand what they mean, and that they were not words of knowledge, they were prophecy. This other guy is sitting in front of me, and all I hear is the name Miranda. So I'm like, you know what? I'm at this place to learn. I'm at this place to experiment. If I'm not going to trust the Lord and try now, when will I? So I just ask him, I'm like, does Miranda mean anything to you? And he's like, yeah, I have a sister named Miranda. And I'm like, come on, Jesus, I heard you. Come on, yeah. He's like, do you have a word for Miranda? I'm like, no. So excited that I, so working myself up to even like have the nerve to say Miranda, I didn't bother to ask the Lord, is there more for Miranda? I'm like, no, give me a second. Let me see what I get. And I started praying and I asked the Lord for like a word for Miranda. And he shows me this mental picture of like a glass globe that would go on top of a light bulb. And it's very decorative. And I can tell it was like handmade and it's beautiful. But there's like this crack inside of it. Like there's a crack on the side of this globe. But the crack is made in a way that there's like little like artistic dots on the side of it, drippings of glass. Like it's very obvious that this crack was actually part of the design. And that's what the Lord shows me. And I get this word from Miranda that Miranda, like you have something in your life that you have always thought was a flaw and you have always thought was a handicap and a problem in your life, but it's actually something the Lord designed. And by the nature of like a globe of this frosted glass, the part where the light actually shines through the most uninhibited and the purest form of the light comes through that crack. And that's what the Lord wants to do in your life with this area of hurt, this area of challenge. He designed you that way. It's not a flaw. It's not a mistake. It's intentionally designed and he wants to show life through it. Time goes by. I record that word. I send it to him. He sends it to his sister. And a couple months go by, I have a chance to talk to him again. I'm like, so how did Miranda receive the word? He's like, you know what? I just got off the phone with her yesterday. And she says she listens to that word at least once a day.
Right on.
Because it gives her perspective on what the Lord is doing in her life. And like, there are things in her life that she has thought from birth she was flawed, that she was broken, but that she was wrong, that there were problems in her life. And it's like, it's just shining the light of Jesus into her life, that there's nothing wrong with her. So again, that is like this big mixture of word of knowledge and prophecy. Obviously, the fact that Miranda means anything to this guy, that's a word of knowledge. The crack, the flaw, and the fact that the Lord wants to restore that, that is a word of knowledge and prophecy. And again, they blend together a lot. So I think that that's probably the one that when I like think back about ones that like, oh, I know I heard Jesus and I know that I operated in the gift of the word of knowledge. When I look back at my life, I'm like, that is one of them.
I got one more for you. It was me and you. We were in here praying one night. You remember the night I was sitting at the table and I just broke down talking to you?
Which time?
Fair. I think I'm probably using the wrong verbiage. Let me rephrase. The time I legitimately wept and opened my heart up and shared with you the greatest fear I had at that time. I think that rings a bell for you.
Yes.
They told Abby and myself, and they being the doctors, and I'm sure they meant well by doing it, no shade intended, that little Logan had something wrong with his heart. Now, to anybody that has ever had a doctor tell you that something could potentially be wrong with your child, you immediately feel that weight in your chest that I did that day. And Abby and I wrestled with this because that's hard to hear. Now, the biggest thing was they couldn't see his heart. They just anticipated things. So we had to go to a specialist with a more high-powered ultrasound in the high-risk department of the hospital. And I can't remember how long it was. I think it was almost 2 weeks between appointments. And I remember, I think it was the next day I was going because I opened up to you because I just couldn't carry it anymore because I didn't want to speak anything over it. But I just remember going over there to that part of the room, and I just asked the Lord, can you tell me now? Because if something is wrong, Lord, and you'll know, you'll see it, then I can be strong for Abby. I can know right now. And if it's fine, then I can let this go. I can let the Holy Ghost do what he does, be the comforter. And every time they come at me with an ill word or something that's not of you, I can look at it and go, no. And as sure as I'm sitting here talking to you, I heard, I am in there with him and he is fine. And from that point forward, I didn't carry it. And we went to the doctor the next day and they scanned. And at first they didn't like what they saw. And we were there for 3 hours of testing. But do you know what the ultimate results were every time? They told us every part of his body was beautiful. They came back and told us that he is healthy, that he is actually a few weeks ahead of schedule size-wise. Everything confirmed what the Lord told me in that moment. The last nurse that came in said, this is beautiful. I love what I'm seeing on this machine. Why are you here? And we left. And he was born healthy, happy. His heart is beautiful and functioning exactly how God intended. And I knew in that moment, and the peace that came with it was just so overwhelming. And I'm just so grateful that I have that line with him. But bigger than that I was able to hear it and receive it and take that knowledge to the bank, spiritually speaking. I have a feeling that there could be somebody out there tonight who has something like that weighing on you, because I didn't intend to share that story tonight. I really didn't intend to ever share that story on here. So maybe you need an answer. Maybe you need God to weigh in. I would try just that. Get quiet before the Lord and lay that question that's heavy on your heart, that's heavy on your shoulders before him. He will give you an answer. Take it to the bank spiritually.
And this is nothing new for our podcast here.
No.
We've been walking in words of knowledge for quite some time now. On episode 14, The Modern Day Exorcist, towards the end of that interview with Mama Bear, Pastor Shelley McWilliams, host of the Raw Faith podcast.
Shameless plug.
Go subscribe. During that interview, towards the end of it, we just started flowing in words of knowledge, one of which was, that there was someone with the name of Rose. I didn't know if it was Roosevelt or Rosemary or Rose something was struggling with sleep paralysis. And I just threw it out there that in the name of Jesus, your sleep paralysis is broken. A couple months later, I get an email from Stacy Rose telling me that A, no one in her life even really knows her last name. She goes kind of by her maiden name on social media and stuff like that. And like only people that are like close to her even see that her name has Rose in it. And that the night before, I believe it was that she listened to that episode, she had had sleep paralysis again, and she hadn't had it since. So this is nothing new. And this is something the Lord does. If you haven't listened to that episode 14, it's going to be worth your time, regardless of whether one of those words apply to you. But there's a slew of them on there that we haven't heard back yet. And we know that the Lord was in the room. And we know that before this podcast closes, every one of those is going to be knocked out of the park. And the Lord is going to show us in every one of those words that they apply to someone's life.
Guys, I hope this hit home. I hope you marinate on it, chew on it as always. We love you so much. And until next time, take care, y'all.